few Goldilocks Bears podcast with Vincent Cloud,
John Nemeth,
David Lauer.
And this is a show where we talk about love, hate, and other options. Things in between, gray stuff, the gray areas in life, things we're on the fence about. We could be indifferent to it, but it has to be in the middle there somewhere, ambivalent. And also we have some silly mysteries, which are fall into those other categories of topics and stuff. But before we do any of that, we like to talk about the old topics that we've brought up before in previous episodes, and we call that segment the Deja Fuse. Go ahead, Dave.
All right, I had a deja vu on Friday night. I went to a concert, and it was a Zach Bryan concert in Tulsa. And I've talked about Zach Bryan before. I really like him as a musician, as a person. Doesn't seem like that good of a dude. But musically, he's really good. He's got a good voice, and he's really good at writing songs. But I kind of had a deja vu while I was between like the opener and Zach Bryan coming out on stage. I'm sitting there and I'm eavesdropping on the person in front of me, and I'm looking at their phone and they're playing trivia on their phone. Ooh. And I know Vince loves trivia. I'm like, oh. And the trivia question showed the two sisters from Sister Sister, Tia and Tamara. Oh, and I'm like, oh, I know the answer. But I didn't want to, like, you know, act like I was dropping eaves on her and, you know, just looking over her shoulder. But I was like, it was a deja vu because it was the trivia, Zach Bryan, Sister Sister, dropping eaves. So, yeah, I thought it was funny.
Yeah, you checked off a lot of boxes with that one.
I know. And it made me excited because I was like, man, if I could like do this again, if I'm like in traffic and I see a bike lane and there's construction or just, I don't know. I'm like, I want to like keep piling these on top of each other. It'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. And Sister Sister, that's ABC's TGIF lineup, right? That's
yeah.
Where that comes from.
Yep. Yeah.
I never got to see that, but, or wait, maybe I've seen some, but I think they also had a show. A morning show on like NBC or something for a while. I don't know. But they were always acting together. Yeah.
Yeah. And she got the question wrong and I was upset. And then there was another question about Brett Favre. And I'm from Wisconsin, so I know who he is. She got that question wrong. And I really wanted to step in and like give it here. Like, you don't know what you're doing.
Give me that. You don't deserve to be holding that phone.
Yeah.
Oh man. Jam-packed, that Deja Fu, man.
Yeah.
But let's get the show started.
All right, I want to talk about some of these gray things. Rocks, concrete, cloudy days.
Hold on. Where's my...
floor in my garage, yeah.
Oh. So you're saying you want to talk about the indifference over the love. That's fine. I'll talk about it.
That's not what I meant, but go for it.
So I said this was indifferent, but I think it's not indifferent. It's I do have opinions on this. I'm more ambivalent, I guess. And it's about couples who tell me they are trying to get pregnant. So I don't want to come off as an asshole or anything like that. But like, you know, you're at a party and some couple that's been together for quite a while, you know, maybe they're engaged, maybe they're not, but they've been together for a long time, and all of a sudden they're like, we're trying to get pregnant, everybody. And you know, people are like, oh hey, congratulations and stuff. They're gonna start to add to their family, you know. But to me, I'm like, wait a minute, isn't there like a rule where, like, first of all, like, even if you get pregnant, you're not supposed to say right away because you never know. You could lose the baby. And that's a whole socially awkward thing, you know, especially when you weren't told that they lost. You're like, oh, congratulations on the baby. Like, we lost it just now, you know, just something like that. This is horrible, right? I tried to make a joke because it happened to me and it was just so, I was like, oh my God, just kill me now. Because it was in front of people and shit.
Oh my
Oh my
God.
God. So anyways, so even if you get pregnant, you're supposed to wait, right? I prefer to be told, hey, we have a kid, even though you should know by now, with the baby bump,
Hey, the kid's in kindergarten.
So anyways, when they say we're trying to get pregnant, it's just like, well, I assumed you were having sex, but I didn't know need to know that it was unprotected. It's so fucking weird. It's almost like a weird brag where it's like, what are you doing, man? I don't know. But it's like the last time they could be like, yeah, we're just hitting it, raw dogging it, before they're now going to be considered like, oh, nice family of, well, two people could be a family, but with a child, that those couples, they mature, and all of a sudden they're like, Vince, no, we don't have time for your little shenanigans. We have a young one now and stuff. Oh, jeez. But yeah, it always felt, it made me really weirded out that they would tell you that we're trying to get pregnant. So yeah, what do you guys have to say?
And so, having decided a long time ago that we didn't want kids, when we would have couple friends tell us that, then it's just like, all right, well, this friendship is like, not like this friendship is over, but like this friendship, the dynamics are going to change drastically. And it's just, in 9 plus months or whenever they're successful, like it's like literally like the end of this friendship as we know it, I guess is maybe the way to say it. So yeah, that always kind of bummed me out in a way. As far as like the should you like you shouldn't tell, or like even if you get pregnant, you shouldn't tell, like, I mean, if you're fine having conversations with people that, oh yeah, we lost the baby, then you can tell people as early as you want, I guess. But I suppose it does make it awkward for those people as well. Just a side note, I feel like it's a weird societal thing that like miscarriages are so like hush hush, being how common they are, but like they still make like people feel shamed or like you have to hide it when it happens. So, maybe it would be better overall for society if people were more open about this stuff and you didn't have to feel like, oh, like I did something wrong or this, because it does happen to so many people. But as me as an individual, like I feel super awkward like around that kind of stuff for sure.
And I believe, Dave, you have an announcement.
Well, shit, why the fuck not? If it makes you so uncomfortable, Vince, I'd like to talk to you about my sex life. I mean, yeah, I get what you're saying. I think it's weird too. It's just like a too it's a too much information, TMI. It's like I don't care. Like, if you're gonna have a baby, just tell me you're having a baby. Otherwise, you don't have to tell me that you're trying, because it's like saying, like I'm trying to lose weight or something, I'm starting to go to the gym. It's like, you don't have to tell me that. Like, just go to the gym and get ripped and then I'll notice, like if you make changes, I'll notice. If suddenly, you have a baby bump and you're like, oh yeah, we're trying to decide a baby name, and it's like, okay, then I'll figure it out from there. But yeah, there's like
Yeah,
certain
given
things in
like
life.
4 or 5 more clues, I'm gonna figure it out.
Yeah. It's like once like we invite you out to dinner and your wife is no longer drinking alcohol, or you're, I don't know, there's a million different things, but there's like other stuff that's like kind of in that similar thing where it's just like you don't need to tell everyone that. There's some things that are best left private and you don't have to tell everyone about it. Like, I have stuff I could start spewing about, but I don't really, I don't really want to, because I wouldn't really want to hear it from other people. So like I have coworkers that just like go on and on about certain things that are going on in their life, and I'm like, oh man, I have the same exact things going on, but I'm not, I don't know, that's just not me. Like I'm not gonna just start telling it to random people.
Yeah, I've definitely had that thought with coworkers. Like, yep, I've gone through that stuff too, but you know, I didn't make it everybody else's problem.
I was hanging out with some friends, and a buddy, this is something different, but he was talking about a time he pooped his pants, and he had a story about when he pooped his pants, and I'm just like, I mean, I guess I have a couple instances, but I'm not going to like start fucking describing in detail the times I almost pooped my pants. Like, I'm like, this is
all right.
Like,
I don't know, this is not necessary. Time.
Crossing that off the topics list. Right next to when I pulled my groin.
I was going to say that time I pulled my groin and that time I almost pooped my pants.
Not almost. Okay, so Dave, you touched upon something about like, don't say you're going to the gym, because what if it doesn't take, you know? Dude,
yeah.
There's some couples who can't get pregnant. And that's like another thing where they're like, hey, we're trying to get pregnant, you know? You know what that means, don't you? We're like, yes, we know what that fucking means. But then months go by, perhaps years. So now maybe someone's like, oh my God, I wish I didn't tell my friends that I was trying. Obviously, we're not having. So now they're going to wonder, like, oh, who's lighting the loafers or whatever? Who's shooting blanks? Who's got dead ovaries? I don't know how the body works, guys. I'm sorry. It's a very sensitive thing that we're talking about. What a weird way to open the show.
It is very strange. Like for me, like when it comes to like medical stuff like that, I work in the medical field, so I have no problem talking about that stuff. And like, I would just like have a long conversation. Like, I don't really care. But there are some people in relation, like I mean, my wife wouldn't be comfortable talking about that. So then it's just like, well, like if you're hanging out at like Thanksgiving and you have like a lot of family around, then it's like, well, what do you want to talk about this? Do you not want to talk about this? It's just like, maybe we won't talk about certain things because like so-and-so is not comfortable talking about it. Like,
yeah,
but sometimes it comes up naturally and you can't avoid it, you know, like, oh man, you're stuffing that turkey like I'm stuffing my wife while trying to get her pregnant.
Yeah, that turkey baster. Man, I've been talking to the fertility doctor.
Yeah, it's like just unavoidable, you know?
Yeah. They're like, hey, Alec Baldwin, I bet he wish he was shooting blanks, huh? All these horrible segues.
I picked up a bad habit from my coworker that he always said as a joke that when someone tells you they're pregnant, you say, on purpose.
Yeah, because if you announce ahead of time that you're trying, it's like insurance almost, right? Social insurance. All right, guys, enough of this, right? Let's get on to more lighter fare. Whoever wants to go next? Oh, Segway challenge, though.
I was going to say, not even a Segway challenge.
Yeah.
I just want to let you guys know I'm trying to come up with a Segway challenge.
Oh, that's great. Oh, my God. Oh, I can't wait. You guys would make a cute topic. Hopefully it has John's nose. Am I right, Rochelle? All right, who wants to go next?
All right, I'll go with my lighthearted mystery topic. I love doing bits that like only I think are funny, and maybe other people think they're funny, or maybe they don't even notice I'm doing it. But it doesn't matter. I was thinking of some examples, like, my wife and I were out at a restaurant the other day, and Like when the check comes, I always like to like open it and then like go like wide-eyed, like I'm shocked at what I'm seeing inside the thing. Like, oh, I can't believe this.
Yeah, you like close the book and you just set it down and you just like let out a big sigh and push it away from you. Like,
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of good bits you can do when the check comes, or you wait till like you know someone else is paying for it, and you wait till they're grabbing it, then you pretend like you were trying to grab it, and then there's like certain phrases that I hear that I always like have like think of a response to them. Like, so for example, like, and this is really bad because she's just trying to be helpful, but like, you know, like let's say I have like a bag in my hand and I'm trying to open the door, and my wife will be like, "Oh, can I hold something for you?" And I'll be like, "Your tongue." Just let me do this.
But isn't it so good when, I mean, like you run the risk of saying it to the wrong person, like they just do not get humor, perhaps.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And then when I like this is just a general category of them, but like when someone says like a number of something, then like I will say like the units of that number in like a shocked voice. So like, how much did that cost? Oh, about 17. And I'll be like, dollars? Or you know, like anything, like, yeah, I got a 30, you know, I'm like, or like a turkey. I'm like, how much did it weigh? And they're like 10. I'm like, pounds? And like my favorite one is like, yeah, this is happening at about 4. I'll be like, o'clock? Because it's just like, what other possible explanation could it be? And it's so meaningless. But like, that's the one that I do, and everyone is just like very neutrally like, yeah, 4 o'clock. Like,
They genuinely thought you were shocked.
yeah.
4 p.m.
Yeah, I wonder if they like talk about you. They're like, this John guy, he had no concept of time. Like
He was really confused. He didn't know what I meant when I said 4 until I explained it was 4 o'clock.
Oh man. Yeah, any other bits? Because I'm trying to think of like what I do. I know I do them, but like right off the hand, I can't think of like what I do as a reflex. You know what I'm saying? Like I know I do things, but oh man, I'm drawing blanks. What about you, Dave?
Better than shooting them.
Like at work, I work in X-ray. So like if somebody, there's a lot of people who work in X-ray and they'll be like joking with their patients and they have the same like canned jokes.
Oh no.
Just they bring it out every time. They use the same jokes. And I can't stand working with people like that because I'm like, no, you can't just reuse the same material over and over. Like it's just annoying to me as your coworker just hearing it, like overhearing it. So like I don't do that. I always like it has to be like an organic comeback and like something organically has to happen where you have a response to it and it's funny. I don't have anything offhand, but I do not like with like CAT scans, people just like, yeah, it's a CAT scan. It'll tell if you're a pussy or not. And it's just like, okay, like
Now, see, that's funny, but I'm sure if I heard it again, I'd be like, oh, you say that all the time. You suck.
Well, yeah, because like if it's always like a cat scan, there's tons of cats and dog jokes, you know, like, oh, how many cats do I have? And it's, lots of patients will start having, if they have a sense of humor, they'll start having the cat scan jokes and they'll be making jokes about cats. But it's like, I work in this, like, I've heard every joke there is just about, like, you're not gonna make me laugh. You're gonna have to try a little harder.
Do you
I've got
feign
one.
laughter? Oh, sorry.
Will
Oh,
it tell
yeah. You
me
always,
how
yep.
many of my 9 lives I've got left?
Is that original, Dave?
No, I mean, nine cats and 9 live jokes are just been beaten to death. Like,
how many times per cat? Damn it. I don't know. Okay, so does this count? Okay, so I had an ex and this drove her nuts, but that kind of made me do it. This might be a bit where she would be yawning and I would quickly stick my finger in
Oh,
her
that's
mouth
classic. Yeah.
before she closes it. And I just loved it. She hated it, but that was great. I think that is that a recurring bit?
Oh yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Oh,
I
man.
my wife doesn't like when I sneeze really loud.
That's
And
your joke.
well, now it's just a bit because like if I have to sneeze, I just make it as obscenely loud as possible just so I can afterwards just fucking turn my head and just smirk at her and just give her a grin and she'll be like shaking her head like I fucking hate you. I'm just like laughing.
She's like, don't even bother brushing your teeth tonight.
Don't worry, wasn't gonna.
That reminds me, here's a deja vu. I've been unscientifically polling people, and I have not found a single person who has smelled a sneeze.
Oh man, it is unique, but not enough. I mean, Dave, you said you smelt one before, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what the smell is.
Yeah.
And I feel like I want to ask my coworkers. If I recall, I will ask my coworkers and then I'll come back. I have like four coworkers that I can ask.
Yeah, maybe I should ask that too. I'll poll
It'll be like
people as well.
Family Feud and be like survey says.
Oh man. Yeah. Bits that you just do over and over. Like, yeah, I really wish I could just sit down and like, what do I do constantly that drives people insane? You know? Yeah, I can't think of any of it though. Segue challenge, I suppose. Let's repeat an old segue. What have we said before?
I can't even remember the segue from the last
Right.
topic to this one. Oh yeah, I remember. I just wanted to let you guys know I'm working on coming up with a segue. I'm still working on
Oh man, you said that a couple of
it.
years ago now. Did you notice that, Dave? Someone
Perhaps he's
shooting
working on twins or something and it's taking longer.
He's working on twins. All right, whoever's next.
Something I hate, and it's just like the little annoyances in life. I hate like the small things around your house, like your little household items that you always seem to misplace and can never find. Like there's a million of these, well, maybe not a million, but there's tons of things that like socks. Like if you're doing laundry, suddenly like you're like, how in the world? I have tons of different types of socks, and I literally have an extra sock for like every pair I have. And I'm like, how am I missing one sock from my tall white socks, my short black socks, my short gray socks, and then my blue socks, and they're all have extra socks, and I just can't find it. And it just blows my mind. And then there's all the like the little things around your house where it's just like when you have to do something and you're like, okay, I need some scissors. Where are my scissors? I have like three pairs of scissors in my house. We have one in like the knife block on the kitchen counter. There's one in the kitchen drawer. And then there's like another one like in the bathroom or something. So there's like three scissors in the house, but none of them are ever where they're supposed to be. They're always just like half the time you can't find them. Like the one in the kitchen is usually in the dishwasher and it's dirty. The other one, you're using it in the other room and it's on the desk somewhere. You can't find it. There's also like nail clippers. I can never freaking find nail clippers. It's something that I know I own like half a dozen pairs of nail clippers, but I can
Whoa.
never freaking seem to find like more than one. 'Cause like I think like I put one in like my backpack, and then maybe there's one in the bathroom, but it should just be like in the coffee table because the time I'm gonna clip my nails the most is if I'm on the couch watching TV, I want to just open the coffee table and I want to have like toothpicks, and I want to have nail clippers, and just like the little like things that you do while you're sitting and watching TV. But what are some like little household items that always go missing that drives you nuts?
Well, I was going to say, just in general, I lose stuff like all the time. And but yet I don't throw things away. I almost want to say that the borrowers are real. I don't know if you guys ever seen that movie. It's about little people that steal stuff in your house. Now, Native Americans actually believe in little people about that big, and they're mischievous and they could steal stuff from you. So, like, I swear to God, like, there's things where I'm like, why would I lose that? I never use it, or it only remains in this one spot. It never leaves this room. Like, how could it have gone? You know, and there's some things where I'm like, that kind of was important to me, but I've been robbed my whole life, where I'm like, yeah, I guess it's gone, you know? And I don't know if it's robbery, but I can't think of what else it could be. Yeah. So, but with all that though, the remote, right? Why
Oh,
aren't we
yeah.
just calling the remote now? Why isn't that a thing now? Or texting your remote. And more modern, more do-it-yourself sort of thing that I've seen, where they have Velcro on one end of the remote and then a Velcro spot on the couch or wherever, where that's where the remote is. So yeah,
I
that's all
did that for a science fair in like fifth
I
grade.
can
I put a
think of.
Velcro patch on the bottom
And
of the remote control, and then you put it like on the like seat cover or whatever, on like the armchair. And that was the Velcro spot. But then it never got used. Like you use the remote, then you just set it down next to you on the couch, then it falls in the crack of the cushions, and then you just lose it.
dang. Did you place at all? I mean, that's smart.
I mean, I think I got an A on the project. It wasn't
Nice.
like a first place, second place, or if it was, I did not meddle.
You should have copyrighted that. Who knows, Dave? Because it's
Pretty
clearly spread
sure
out.
I was like in fourth or fifth grade, and I'm almost certain that I ripped it off of a TV show I watched. I think I probably saw it on like Full House or something like that.
Wow, a natural Edison, are we?
You're gonna
Yeah.
retroactively get your A taken away from you.
Oh, no. Mrs. Geezy is long dead by now.
You saw to that.
Nobody can know my shame.
Full House, that's great. John,
I gotta
do
say,
things
like,
disappear?
not really. Like, for our commonly used items, like, I think my wife and I are both very good at just putting stuff back in its home when you're done with it. So when the next person needs it, it's where you expect it to be. What I really struggle with is the stuff that I use like once a year or less, where it's like, okay, well, I know it's in one of these bins in one of these closets, but you pretty much have to like look through every single one until you finally find it. So like, this is like a soldering iron or, like something like that, that it's like some kind of project that you only do on rare occasion. And other than that, you never use it, you never look at it. But yeah, like we match up our socks after every time doing the wash, and they're always all there.
Wow, what the
Yeah,
hell?
I don't know. Like,
I
yet,
don't understand.
yeah, I mean, it's crazy. He
I mean,
doesn't
where would they
lose
go?
stuff. He doesn't lose stuff, and he doesn't smell sneezes. That's crazy.
I
Lucky bastard. Oh, I wanted to
feel
bring this
like
up. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, John says that he has like a certain place where he puts everything and he just put it back. Well, for me, everything has like three different places it could go. So like any item, like, well, it's either here or it's gonna be here or it's gonna be here. There's everything has like three places I have to look.
I think we talked about this when it came to tools, where like there should be a set place for all your stuff, Why not put that inside and you'll have the remote there, you'll have your clippers there, scissors. I mean, it's not going to look nice, but it'll be there. And then you could have the chalk outlines where the hammer should go and stuff like that.
Or your chainsaw is missing.
Yeah, exactly, man. So why don't we do that? But I wanted to also ask you guys, do you guys lose like your keys or your wallet or your cell phone? Like I always felt that was so weird that people do that. Like I never
That you lose them, it's weird.
or that you miss yeah, you're like missing your keys. Yeah.
Like I have a key place and I put my keys there, and then when I need my keys, they're in the key place. The only time they're not there, then I'm like, oh, they're in my pocket because I didn't put them in the key place. Not
Yeah.
saying where that is, robbers.
I used to never lose my wallet, like ever. But like the last 6 months, I've probably lost it. Like, well, I don't even want to say lose it. Like, what I do is I just have it in my pants pocket. And then when I take off my jeans to put on my sweatpants, it just stays in my pants pocket. And then the next day, I'm like, oh shit, where's my wallet? And I'm like, oh fuck, it's in my laundry basket. And that's so I've never actually like lost it, but it's just like I forget to empty my pockets when I take off my pants, and then it's sitting in my laundry basket.
I always, we know someone who is always missing their stuff or like, where the fuck did my phone go? DJ Matty Nice, a friend of Dave and I's. But what I do, and I think I recommended it to him, but like, remember the movie Memento, where it's like, it's muscle memory. My keys are always in this pocket. My wallet's in this pocket. And I just make sure to check all the time. I took from that movie, and now I know exactly where my wallet is at all times because it's muscle memory. I get up and I feel for the keys, the phone, and the wallet. Yeah.
Yeah, I have AirPods, obviously. And if I leave the case behind, it will say like, you have left this behind at this address. And like, it will notify me on my phone anytime I leave it behind. So
Oh.
it's like, you can take it and just take your AirPods, and there's this little carabiner on here, and I could just hook it up to my keys. So anywhere my keys are, so are my AirPods. So I would never lose my keys. But I would like to do that with my wallet just in case. So that way, if like, because sometimes if I'm in a hurry, I'll like just, I don't know. I'm probably not going to turn around if I'm going to work to like go get my wallet. I'll just be like, wow, I can go to work and come home and just not stop for gas as long as I don't have to get gas.
Oh, man.
Another kind of related thing is, like I work in an office sometimes, and I feel like a lot of people often forget their badge to get into the office. And so, like my solution is it lives in my backpack. So, I have my laptop in my backpack, and I'm not going to go to work without my laptop in my backpack. So I just, and then like anything I need to remember to bring to work, I know like when the morning comes, I'm not gonna, like, my foggy morning brain isn't gonna remember to grab stuff. So I'm just like, I'm gonna put it in the backpack now. If I don't, it's probably not gonna make it there.
Dang. Anything else? Oh, by the
I
way,
forgot
I thought we
how.
discussed the sock thing where like it's or in the washer that thing spins and socks get stuck on there, and then there was a picture online where they opened up the bottom and it was just full of socks in like the undercarriage or something like that. So
Really?
maybe
I don't
you
remember
just
that.
buy superior appliances, John. Maybe that's what that is.
Yeah, or our house came with superior appliances.
My washing machine doesn't have an agitator, so there's nowhere for the socks to go. And I also fixed my own washing machine when it broke last time. And I was like expecting to find, like, I don't know, cash or coins or socks or anything. I didn't find anything cool. Just a lot of just like goopy, what is that stuff called? The fabric softener. It's all like
Yeah.
waxy and weird. And it's like, okay, don't use that. It's gross.
That is beyond appropriate. That's called the agitator because it does take socks. That's
Yeah.
crazy. Yeah. What came first, though? The sock taker originally it was called. I don't know.
Like the little people that steal the things that you love. Like I have a jacket that just went missing, and I still think about that jacket. And then I went to the similar store and bought like a Carhartt like hoodie that was similar, but they don't make them the same. And it's like I got the one they had at the store currently, but it's not like the one I lost that the little people, the little gremlins stole from me. Can't replace it.
Oh man, it's real. The borrowers are real. Okay, segue challenge.
I wrote down a segue, but then I misplaced
Somewhere a borrower is getting a
it.
yuck. All right, okay, I will go. All right, I'm going to talk about my love. I love the album The Bends by Radiohead. So I just got to say this right off the bat. Radiohead is like easily top three favorite bands that I love. And it was really hard to figure out which album to bring up. But I think this is good because this is like their least, not their least popular, but when people mention their albums, this is mentioned like maybe fourth or something, but I think it's so good and so different from their other albums in weird ways. So the title, The Bends, is inspired by their sudden fame with Creep from their first album. And that's what is it, decompression sickness or whatever, when you go from a small amount of pressure to a lot or vice versa, right? Like too quickly you get sick. And that's what they mean, but it also can mean the back and forth between the like acoustic ballads and the hard rock songs. Like it's really like all, I almost want to say bipolar in a way. You could feel such great heights and beauty in the songs, but then it's so dismal in some of these other songs. It's a real back and forth. I want to say that the acoustic ballads in particular are responsible for Coldplay, Keane, Muse, Travis. So I think it depends on if you think that's a good thing or not. You might like these things. But I will say though that those bands, from what I've heard about them, they don't have the darkness and the depression that Radiohead has in their songs and what they can evoke with their music, They just kind of took the High and Dry and Nice Dream and Fake Plastic Trees, and they were like, we'll just do this for all forever, Speaking of the hard rock stuff, this is their most guitar-driven album because after this, they get away from it more and more. Like in their next album, there's guitar, but they're using all these different instruments now, and it's less emphasis on guitar with every album after that. It's so rare now that there's guitars on their albums, at least used this way. I want to say that these songs are very movie-like, and it's no wonder that Johnny Greenwood, one of the lead guitarists for this band, is composing Paul Thomas Anderson movies all the time. It like this these all these songs, they can create an atmosphere that I really, really love. So yeah, I wanted to say just really quickly that, with the scary and scary stuff, they have these awesome scary images and ideas, like a pla our planet is a gunboat in a sea of fear. Cracked egg, dead birds scream as they fight for life. Another scary concept is just like your dad, you'll never change. I'm like, oh my God, like that really hit me more personally. Like, I gotta get out of my head. Tom York, but the other scary stuff specifically is body horror. He talks about all this stuff that his body's going through, like a drip feed on a doctor that used to do surgeries for girls in the 80s, but gravity always wins. I don't want to be crippled and cracked, shoulders, wrists, knees, and back. Doesn't that just sound like growing old in general? You're like, God damn it. Like, why is my wrist failing me?
Our frail bodies.
Yes. And then completely recognized in the song My Iron Lung. That is extremely depressing in a horrible state for your body to be in. And then, but the other lyrical stuff is like about relationships. There's an emphasis on losing friends that I've picked up on. Where like in the bends is like, do we have real friends? And then in High and Dry, they're the ones who hate you when you got it all sussed out. They're the ones who spit at you. And then in Nice Dream, it's they love me like a brother, but that's a dream. So I feel like he's lost some people in his life, and that's what he's writing about. Also, people that he wants to get rid of but can't. In Just, where it's like suckered you but not your friends, changed the lock 3 times, he still comes reeling through the door. Yeah, it's fucking crazy. So, what do you guys say about the bends?
I was actually surprised that you chose that album. Like, I've always liked the bends, but it's not like my go-to Radiohead, but honestly, like, I've listened to it a few times now since you brought it up. I hold it in much higher regard now, having done so. Like, and this is just solid, even though, it's not as I don't know if avant-garde is the right word or whatever as some of their later stuff. It's like more straightforward, but it's still just, really good, really solid. Yeah, and like the movie-like quality and everything is really good. As you're going through the songs, I'm like, man, I don't really like even differentiate between the songs on it for some reason.
No.
Yeah, like I've listened to the whole thing like even before you brought it up for this, back to back a bunch of times, but it just I guess yeah, I had never really just sat and like listened to the lyrics and all that stuff. It's always just been kind of more ambient music for me, if that makes sense.
For sure. Dave, are you? I don't even know if you've ever listened to Radiohead before.
Really haven't. I've heard Creep by Radiohead, and then I know like 10 or 15 years ago you were talking about Radiohead and how great it is, and then I tried to listen to, I think it was OK Computer, but this was like 15 years ago, and I think I listened to a couple songs and I was just like, eh, it's not really for me, I don't really care for it. And so when you said like, I'm like, okay, I'm like, all right, I'll listen to the bends and we'll see how I like it. And I went to Wisconsin during like Thanksgiving, and on the drive back, I listened through the album one time, and I just thought like, man, this is kind of depressing. I don't really like it. And then like an hour or two later, I listened to it again, and I was just like, I don't know. And it was like, it kind of felt like seasonal depression to me because it was cloudy all day and it was rainy all day. And I felt like I was in England, and I was like, yeah, I'm like, this is kind of the vibe I'm getting, and I didn't really care for it. And then the next day I got home, I hopped in my truck and I had to move some stuff around, back to my father-in-law's place, started listening to the album a third time, and it was like a fucking epiphany. Like it just like clicked, and I was like, oh shit, I'm like, this is really good. And I really fucking love this album. It's so good. I've listened to it, I don't know, probably 13 or 14 times now. And it's a really like one of my favorite albums now. And I like it so much that I don't want to listen to their other albums because I'm afraid that I won't like their other albums as much.
You might
Cause I'm
not.
like, yeah, I don't, it's so good. I love this. I love, like, I haven't listened to it probably enough where I'm like really analyzing the lyrics that much, other than like fake plastic trees. Like, the first time I listened to that one, I was like, I don't understand a word he's saying. It sounds like he's saying all this weird shit. And I turned on the lyrics and I'm like, nope, that's exactly what he is saying. Okay. I'm like, those weird lyrics that it's like, oh, okay, I am understanding this correctly. But I just musically, I really enjoy it. It focuses, like, His lyrics are really good. His voice is really good. He kind of he sings like everything. He isn't trying to like speak sing. He just kind of sings stuff. And the way the instruments like enter the song and then take a pause and step back and then re-enter the song, they do that with like the drums and the guitars and the bass, where like every like all the instruments will be playing and then one will fade out and stop. And then another will fade out and stop. And then he'll get to the end of the verse of him singing. And then boom, like all of a sudden the guitar kicks back in. And then you're starting over again. And I'm like, oh shit, this is it's just good. It's just very good songwriting. Yeah, I freaking love it. I think it's really great. And I want to do a future topic on this, as something I hate. And I'm just gonna announce my future topic for the next episode we do, is I hate first impressions, because I have first impressions, and it's whether it's a person that you meet or music that you listen to, the first impression, at least my own first impressions, are almost always wrong. And the fact that I've learned that, I can like I'll stick it through and I'll be like, okay, I don't like this, but there's a nugget of something in here, and I gotta keep digging until I find what I'm looking for.
I'll save it for the next episode, but yeah, I agree.
I was going to mention, as a love, I love when I hate something at first, but then love it, where you're just like, I was so wrong. So that's kind of the same thing, where you give, like, what's that fucking movie? Scarface. I hated it every time. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh my God, I get it now, guys. I'm sorry. I don't know who I was apologizing to. I think it was just everyone who loved that. I'm like, fuck off. It's terrible. And then I was totally wrong. But. Okay, so I wanted to mention another thing about Radiohead is, this is a different album because he's all these songs are more personal. It's about his relationships, like in Black Star, and it's about how he feels losing friends and physically and stuff. But that is no longer around in like the next albums. They're way more spacier. They're more like universal things. It's more arena rock. The band's is way more personal. And I think, Dave, it's possible you might not like the other albums because they keep changing. Like almost every album, they're like, oh, we did that, on to something else,
Yeah, I felt like what I remembered from OK Computer, this didn't sound like that. I don't know. I remembered more of like a electronic kind of spacey sound.
Yeah,
For
for
sure.
sure.
Oh, I wanted to say that ultimately my favorite song on the album is Nice Dream. And I've been waiting for years for it to for a movie to use the song right when the movie ends and it goes to the end credits. I'm like, it's the perfect fucking song for that. But no one's ever done it yet, though. So maybe I will have to do
You'll just
that.
have to make a whole movie to
Oh,
do
God. Yeah.
that.
And they're like, oh, Radiohead said. No, like, God damn it.
Or, you worked for your movie, but in streaming, you had to come up with a different song for it.
Oh no, in streaming, that's right. So yeah, do
Vince,
you guys
is Radiohead still together?
Ooh, they've been on a
We're
somewhat
on a
of a
break.
break. Yeah, we were. Is that a Friends thing, right,
Yeah.
Ross, or something like that? It's so weird. So they take a long time in between albums, and this by far has been the longest break they've had. And in between that, Tom York has created another band with some people, and then he recreated a second band with him and Johnny Greenwood, the lead guitarist. And they've put out two albums since then. So yeah, but they need each other. Like a true Radiohead album needs all five of those people working together. And I'll tell you why. Cool little Radiohead trivia. Tom York might show up with a guitar, like an acoustic guitar or a piano, and he's like, oh, this is the basic song idea. And they're like, cool. And he's like, all right, that's it. You guys got to come up with stuff to add to it. Otherwise, you're not on the record. And so that means when you hear those drums, when you hear those bass, like all those guys wrote it themselves. And I think that's very impressive because, the opposite of that would be like Oasis, where Noel Gallagher wrote every instrument and stuff. So I think that's cool.
Yeah, I feel like you'd have a lot more agency if you're just contributing your own part rather than like just being an automaton playing what the lead of the band wants you to do.
All right.
Yeah, and if you were like a band member in a band, you want to be able to contribute yourself because otherwise you're completely replaceable. If you get into one bad drunken argument with the lead singer of the band, suddenly they're looking for a new bass player or a new drummer. Because, like, how many bands where it's just like you look at their timeline over 20 years and they've had four or five different drummers? Because it's just like they never, like, the guy in charge of the band is just writing everything and he's like, eh, if I don't like you, you get annoying, you're out of here.
For sure, man. And you know what, listeners? We all write our own topics.
And
And I always
a
encourage
golden
you.
look behind the scene, Vince has given us all our topics and all our talking points.
The closest thing I ever did was suggest that we plan out the order of the topics, but we never did that. I don't think so. That was my Roger
Yeah,
Waters
I wish we
moment.
would have this episode.
All right, well, segue challenge.
Has anyone got one, or are you going to leave us high and dry?
Oh, all right. Who's it, John?
It's me. I am ambivalent to GoFundMe campaigns and that type of thing. Like, I don't know much about like GoFundMe and their particular terms of service and how much percentage do they take, if any. Like, I don't know how all that stuff works, but it's just more like my thoughts on their impact on society and the implications of their existence and everything. Like so I think it's good that that's an option out there, and it creates like a non-awkward way for, a bunch of people to contribute money to someone who had something bad happen to them. Like, that is what I like about it and think is good. But like the scary thing or the sad thing is like how much of it is like for like medical bills and stuff like that, and just like why do we have a need for this? Like the whole healthcare system and all that stuff. And then it's like somehow like these can go viral or whatever and be way more successful and raise way more money than others. And it's just like, well, like those that went viral didn't necessarily need it more or deserve it more than some of them that just kind of fizzled out and like couldn't even like make the bare amount. Like it's just like an inefficient and like unpredictable way of raising money. And the thing that maybe irks me the most about it and why I even brought it up is like I've heard like libertarian talking points about like, well, like people just band together when someone needs money for something. Like, we don't need the government involved in healthcare or, services for people because we can just do like a GoFundMe if you need something. And
Boy.
I think that's like a horrible way to think about things. It's like that these like fundraisers are like kind of a band-aid for where we're kind of failing each other as a society. That shouldn't be like the role model of like how we should be doing things. And maybe that's not a popular point of view, but I've heard it a couple times, so kind of made me think of that.
Okay,
Yeah,
so
that's like you're not fixing the root of the problem,
Like if you have problems like with healthcare and stuff like that, like oh just or like if there's a disaster, tons of people lose their homes, just like everyone donating to GoFundMe, that's not fixing the problem. It's like you kind of have to get to the root cause of like, how can we make insurance actually work for society?
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna ask you if it was like there's been what do you call it? They've done some bad stuff with their company, you know, like controversial stuff, but it doesn't seem so. If anything, it's like people will start an account or whatever, you know, a fundme, and they're getting money, but then they're like, oh, this guy fucking was a Nazi sympathizer or something like that. They're like, oh shit, that's cut the money, you know. And then there was like scams. I think it was Steve Bannon. It was like a build a wall GoFundMe thing.
Oh
And
yeah.
yeah, and he was like, that's why he was put away for what, 2 minutes before he was let out. So this was interesting though. Olympic athletes start one to get to the Olympics. Like, that's crazy. I think the Olympics needs to be discussed even more. It's like, why isn't there money? Why isn't your shit paid for? That's very bizarre. But the one thing that I was kind of like, I don't know, I was kind of annoyed. Taylor Swift tickets. They're like, we gotta go see her in her Eras tour and stuff like that. So people would raise money for that.
I mean, you needed
Yeah.
help if you were gonna go to that tour, didn't you? Like, weren't they super expensive?
Right. Yeah, that would get into the Ticketmaster thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and then this is interesting, and lots of anti-vaccination causes, which is weird.
Oh.
So, but the business itself, that's probably the closest to controversial, where they're like, oh, I don't know, some of this stuff, was like they didn't know it until way later. Like, you don't do too much research about who, you know, they're like, oh, we need this money for this. And then you look up on what they're about outside of that. And that could be their fault. But yeah, it's truly bizarre. And I remember when my sister was in the hospital and we were discussing insurance and surgery and all that stuff. They brought up, they're like, don't do GoFundMe because we will not recognize the money or something like that. It was interesting, but yeah, I don't know.
Like, who said that? The hospital or the...
Yeah, someone
Oh,
in
really?
I don't it was such a whirlwind of a day because we were hearing like from 12 different doctors within 2 hours. It was fucking crazy. But like, she mentioned, don't do the GoFundMe. It was something about I don't remember what.
Huh. Interesting.
I think
Yeah,
a
like...
good. Go ahead.
I was just gonna switch topics. If you got something else to say, you can say it.
It was more of a silly thing. Or no, like, as an experiment, do we start a GoFundMe for like something stupid involving us? Like,
Yes, get Dave a CGI background. Please fund my new laptop so I
was
don't
to
have to
say,
look.
microphone stands for us all.
Oh, microphone stands. That'd be nice. And then just see. But then, okay. I heard that you don't necessarily need to reach your target of money. You could just get that money.
Oh,
Like,
yeah, because there's like Kickstarter, which is typically more for like starting a business or, you know, like doing something along those lines where like I feel like it's more strict. Like you set a goal, and if you don't reach that goal, then like it doesn't happen.
yeah, but like we would have to look up how much microphone stands are and then like appropriately price it of like, okay, we're only asking for this amount or something. Oh, but then GoFundMe, they keep like a like 2% of what's accumulated, so is that fair? I don't know.
This fairness.
What if that 2% stops us from reaching,
Well,
you know, like, God damn it.
yeah, and like, so we have to raise how much we want to raise by 2%, but then they're going to take 2% of that. So then we need to raise it another 2%. Like
This
we'll never
is like
reach that amount.
calculus. Can't figure it out.
My God. The
Yeah,
GoFundMe,
like,
help us with our math skills.
yeah, now we need to do GoFundMe for math lessons.
Math lessons.
Yeah, I'm on the fence about it too, because like part of me is like, yeah, if like your house gets flooded and you can have a GoFundMe and people can donate, and I think that's great, like helping other people. But it's weird because it's like an online version of panhandling, where there's just someone on the curb and they're like, I'm homeless, or like, like, please, like, help me feed my dog. And you're gonna give them money. But like, in a world where everyone is like lying and deceiving you all the time, you're like, are you really homeless? Or did you drive here in your Escalade and then you put on some grungy looking clothes? Like, and because, like you said, like there's so many people who will ask for something, but then they're not even going to take that money and put it towards like their house that got flooded. They just take and pocket the money, maybe spend it on whatever they want to spend it on. Yeah, I don't know. It puts me on the fence, but it, like, them only taking like 2.9% of a donation or whatever, that's a lot better than like other charity companies where it's like you're donating to like this hospital or breast cancer awareness or some of these causes where you look and these like major charity companies are taking like 30, 40, 50%. They're called like
Wow.
nonprofit, but they're still like the board of directors and they're like pocketing like huge amounts of money. And it's just like, at least it's not that bad. It could be way worse.
The only thing I have to add is I'm sure people that have panhandled would be like, no, this is way different from being on the street, being like, hello,
Yeah,
sir, would you
they're
please, you know what I mean?
working out in the elements, rain or shine.
Especially this time of year. Are you kidding me?
I'd be willing to pay someone, a panhandler who's dancing around, man. That's what I like. Or
Putting
a
on
guy
a
with a
show.
guitar. Yeah. That's what they should do.
I always see these on, like, I have a local, like the town I live in on Facebook. There's just like the what's happening in town. Everyone in the town is on this Facebook. And so like if somebody's bike gets stolen or they lose their keys or there's like a farmer's market or garage sale, people will just post it in there. Well, I've noticed a lot of posts that are for GoFundMes where it's like Timmy really wants to go on the band trip and it's going to cost $3,500 and go to this GoFundMe so Timmy can go to the band trip. And I'm just like, I don't know. I'm like, I don't want to put any money towards that. Like, I don't know. It's like Timmy going on his band trip, I don't really care. I'm like, come on. Like, I've been too desensitized to it. Like, your house has to have been like hit by a hurricane, or you better be in like the intensive care unit of a hospital. Otherwise, I'm not even gonna think about opening my
Timmy
wallet.
better be a Make-A-Wish kid.
Yeah, exactly. If he's in a wheelchair, then I'll consider
Wait, isn't that mixing charities? Make a
it.
wish.
Yeah, double dipping.
Yeah. My God. Segue challenge? How about?
Go fund yourself.
Go
If I could
fund
just
your own
get
Segway.
like $13,000, we could go to the next topic. And that would be Dave as the closer. What do you got, Dave? You got a mystery, right?
Yeah, it's a mystery. Perhaps it's something that I kind of hate. I hate roommates. Have we talked about
No, we
roommates?
have not.
Okay, good. And like we've all had roommates at times, or like even if we don't now, if you're married, your wife is kind of like a roommate, you
Does
know?
that
I think it does.
I've
Because a
had two
roommate.
sets of roommates, my parents and my wife.
Tread carefully, my friend. Tread carefully. Yeah.
Okay. All right. She's listening in on me. I have the best roommate ever. I love my roommate. But like it basically a roommate's anyone you live with. So like if you're in high school, like your siblings are your roommates and your parents are your roommates, you know? It's just whoever's sharing your house with you. And it sucks sharing a house with somebody. Like I've lived by myself and it's great because you can, you know, if you want to watch something on TV, you can watch. If you want to listen to music really loud, you can. If you don't feel like picking up after yourself, you're gonna like, I'm gonna leave it for tomorrow. That's fine. You're never gonna be like, hey, I need to go do laundry. There's a bunch of wet clothes in the washer and a bunch of clothes in the dryer, and now I have to fold two loads of laundry to get to my one load of laundry. You know, there's all those little things like that. Just the little messes of cleaning around the house, and then also just like you're watching something on TV, and then your roommate suddenly gets a phone call, and they're talking really loud, and you're like, "Can you go in the other room? Can you like just show like just the noise factor of having a roommate where it's like, oh, they're asleep, I have to be quiet now, but when I'm asleep, they're never quiet for me." And it's just like the kind of the respect that doesn't always seem to go both ways. And I've been roommates like in the past with like really good friends, like Vince, we've been roommates. I've been roommates with my buddy Zach, with my buddy Jonathan. And it's like my friendships were always great, but while we were roommates, it was not quite the same. It's like your friendship is a little like a double-edged sword in a way. Where it's like you can really like lose a friend after being roommates and never want to talk to them again, or you can be like, all right, we're kind of trauma bonded by being roommates, you know? We and I don't know, it's roommates kind of suck, I think. Maybe it's just because I'm an introvert and I'm better by myself. I don't know.
Yeah, roommates. I had some roommates recently, and I was through with that years ago. But I'm like, ah, you need some help. And then this other guy needed a place, so I'm like, okay, fine. But after this, holy shit, not for a while. Not until I meet. And again, I wasn't sure if like the significant other. And yeah, I guess that is very true. That is another person that you have to work with in a way where you're like, oh, well, I'm gonna do this, you're gonna do that. That kind of interferes with my stuff. But it's like compromise, right? But it's harder when you're not fucking that roommate. I understand that completely, because I'm like, you know what? If I would handle these messes if I was getting a little something out of it. But no, that is not the case. So yeah, man, I love living by myself. Like right now, I started to do this again. I have like all these words and things written down on paper and posted on my wall as constant reminders, and I could just see that all the time. But if I have roommates, no, I take those down. I'm like, oh, it's embarrassing. These are my deepest, darkest thoughts. You know, like get away and
Like
stuff like that.
shower Thursdays.
Anything like that, just like whatever you want. It's very like, oh, don't look at it. Like, so
Is it like the meme with Charlie from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where he's got like you're connecting dots and like,
yeah, Pepe Silvia.
yeah.
Yeah, just other stuff like sharing a bathroom with someone is just so fucking odd. You know, I don't know. I'm like, oh, I'm in this room. Smells like someone just used it. I know who used it, you
Who
know?
could that be?
Yeah,
You're
it's
saying this out loud. I wonder who could have used this.
every roommate ever. They're like, Vince is so fucking is what is it called? Passive aggressive? Is that what it is? Oh my God. Speaking of which, oh man, I had this horrible roommate who would leave notes. He would never talk to your face about what he was concerned about. He would leave these cute little notes, and guess how he started them off as,
To whom it may concern.
I don't want to be an asshole, but, and then
Here's a passive aggressive note.
It was so bad because, like, you know, you would be there talking to him and he would never say like, oh, while you're here, this is my concern. No, you could be talking to him all day and then later on you're walking around and you see a note on your bedroom door. You're like, wow, okay.
Was it about just like stuff in the house? Like, I'm sick of you not closing the lid to the mustard? Or would it be like, you hurt my feelings when we were talking earlier?
And you see like the ink run with tears. No, it was about stuff like around the house. Yeah, you forgot to do this or that or whatever. And oh my God. Yeah, I have horror stories, but let's get to John. John, what about you?
I've never had too horrible of an experience with roommates, but I've never had the same roommate for more than a year. And like, I pretty much only had roommates 3 years when I was in college. Like, I lived in the dorms. So there you're like, you know, you share this kind of tiny room with a person. And both years I just paired up with randos because I had heard of like the whole thing where you kind of like ruin friendships by being roommates with them. But then like my last year of college, I roomed, or like I rented a house with two other people that I knew. And there were definitely, you know, moments where we didn't see eye to eye about stuff, particularly the thermostat, where I wanted it about 10 degrees cooler than everyone else. But other than that, I don't know. I'm pretty adaptable. Like I can get along with most anyone. But that being said, like, I don't have a desire to ever have roommates again.
So you don't count your wife as a roommate, huh?
No.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Do you consider her a
human? It's a different dynamic. I mean, like,
yeah.
No, I would consider a dog to be a roommate before I consider my wife to be a roommate. I don't know. Like, it's different because, like, with your spouse, you can and should talk about just everything openly and directly, whereas the roommate dynamic is way more prone to passive aggressive notes. I don't think I should try that with my wife. Just like, next time I have a problem with her, just like walk away, write a note and hang it on the refrigerator and then come back to bed.
Man, I've lived with a couple of girlfriends and I would say, yeah, it's not the same. It doesn't feel that way. It's yeah, that's interesting, Dave.
With my wife, she like baked a bunch of food and like meal prepped, had a bunch of dirty dishes in the sink, and she just left them there. And then the following day was like Monday, and I was at work the whole day, and I got home and I didn't even notice her there. And then like on Tuesday night, she was washing all the dishes and she's like, I'm so sorry that I left these dishes here for 2 days. And I was like, I didn't even notice. Like, I don't care. I'm like, I just don't even notice that type of thing. And I'm like, I'm not like, I don't care. Like, I don't get upset over that kind of stuff. It's just like, it just doesn't even cross my mind as something that I would ever get upset about.
Now, Vince, you have an option. You mentioned you've been house hunting.
Yes.
You could get a house that's a little above your means, but then subsidize it by having a roommate and then charging them rent. You could be a landlord.
Oh, man.
A landlubber.
That's true. Oh man, I wouldn't want it. I mean, maybe if anything, like maybe the first year or something, because I think that's what McMahon did, the friend that forgets stuff. But he's like, yeah, I just bought this house, so you know, if anyone needs a place, that'll help at least at the beginning. Oh man, I had so again, going with the friendships, how it could be altered, you know. It happened twice with the same roommates. I was living with these two dudes in like early, like right after graduation. And then after we moved out, we just did not see each other. Like, it was so bizarre. It's like we weren't friends or anything. And that was for years. And then eventually we started hanging out again. And then eventually I think we all needed a place together. And we just happened to be in the market at the same time. And we're like, well, let's try it again. Got along okay. But then afterwards, I haven't seen them since then. It's truly bizarre. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah,
Maybe am I a horrible roommate? I don't
I don't know. It's like it's weird because it's like a platonic breakup. I don't know. It feels like it's like your ex-girlfriend or something, but it's just like a dude that you lived with. But it's like, yeah, we don't really hang out or talk anymore. They're like an ex-roommate. I don't know. It's a weird dynamic.
Yeah, but we were stupid enough to try it a second time,
Yeah, that's what
which
people
I've
do. Sometimes they're like, well, we're older, we're wiser, it'll work this time.
exactly. And I've gotten re got back with girlfriends, and that was a mistake as well. Oh man.
Yeah, one thing I'm kind of reminded of with roommates is like I've only been roommates with a person for like 1 year, and it's always been that. It's always just been like because of 1 year lease. And it's always strange because, like, the first 6 months you're like getting along with a person, but then the next 6 months you're starting to get annoyed with the person. And then, like, somewhere around like month number like 8 to month number 9, randomly in a conversation, they'd be like, well, I've been looking for a new place with so and so. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh shit. Oh yeah, so you're not going to renew here, no? And you're just like, oh shit. And then you're like, they're making plans without me. Well, now I got to make plans. What am I going to, am I going to renew here, or am I going to have to find a new roommate? And then you're like trying to think of people that you could move into with. Like, I don't know. It's especially like, with rent being so expensive, like you need a roommate to kind of survive and be able to rent a place. And then just like that weird moment when you find out that your roommate's leaving and you're like, oh shit, I gotta find a new roommate.
Oh man. Oh, one talking speaking about girlfriends, it could have an adverse effect when, say, it's a bunch of dudes in a place, and then you get your girlfriend and she's spending the night, and eventually, roommates are like, so yeah, she's been spending the night, like she's here like every night, huh? Rent would be a lot cheaper if she paid, and it's that's that whole thing. We're like, oh well, are we
Yeah,
that serious?
she's paying half of my third of the rent. Yeah.
Ah, why didn't I say that? Oh my God. I would have more friends today. All right.
Had
Well,
that with a roommate. My buddy Jonathan, his girlfriend would always come over and she'd always spend the night. And it was three of us living in this apartment. And I'm like, why am I paying half the rent? If there's three of us living here, and like, yeah, she would do the dishes and clean up a little bit to like make it so she wasn't being rude or anything. But still in my head, I'm like, pay a third of the utilities or something, And like, we kind of got into a conversation, me and Jonathan did over it. And I was like, I think she needs to pay a third of the rent. You pay a third of the rent, and I pay a third of the rent. And then he's just like, well, she has an apartment too. I can just spend the night there. And I was like, fine. And then he just started spending the night at her place. And then I had the whole apartment to myself. And I was just like, hell yeah, I won the lottery. This is great. And I'm like, now they never show up but like once or twice a week and just like to pick up clothes, do laundry, and see him for a couple hours. And all right, see you later. It was great.
Have you guys ever had to deal with the guy on the couch? I mean, I was your guy on the
Yeah, I was confused.
couch,
It's like, yeah,
Dave,
I've had a guy on the couch. His name was Vince.
but damn it. Well, I was referring to I had this roommate, and he was notorious for leaving something out, a detail which he thought was minor, but it never was, right? But one of these things was like, okay, so my dad sleeps here at night. He's got a cot, and he works. He shows up at night, like, I don't know, 9, and he sleeps until 6, then he gets up and leaves. Now, after a while, I was like, well, that's a roommate. I mean, sure, he's not like around, like hardly ever, but he is sleeping here. I never brought it up, but I did kind of think he should have paid something, you know? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I
100%.
mean, if you're sleeping there every night, you're a roommate.
Right?
I mean, it's polite that he didn't move a bunch of his furniture in, but if you're spending the night, that's, I mean, it's like a hotel room. If you spent the night, you gotta pay.
Yeah, it's like what is it? You're paying for room and board, although I don't know what board is.
Food.
Oh, really? Like boring food? Like, oh God, this again.
Oh, potatoes.
Oh man. Anything else about roommates? Those dastardly things. All right. Well, that's the end of the show. Like, subscribe, comment, go to a few GoldilockBears.com. I was Vincent Cloud.
And while you're at a few GoldilockBears.com, take a look at the how to listen and maybe you can find a way to listen even more than the way that you like doing it now. I was John Nemeth.
And I'm sure one of the other like podcast roommates that I have will post the GoFundMe link to get us some new microphone stands and me a CGI background. I'm David Lauer.